Lowe's knows that no matter your paint project, saving is at the top of your list. That's why when you shop today, you can buy one, get one free select Valspar and HGTV Home by Sherwin-Williams one-coat coverage interior paints via rebate. Shop these deals in-store or online today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. Discount taken at time of purchase. See sales associate for details. Offer valid 8/21 through 9/3.
It's time to go one-on-one with DP. Coming at you live from the Koppel Chevrolet GMC Studios, here is your host, Derek Pearson. Brought to you by Mary Ellen's Food for the Soul on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Boom. In your face. In your face! On a Sunday, live. Sunday Sports Live on The Ticket. Harrison Arns, DP. Disclaimer, one-on-one. We honor the Gump family motto. One-on-one is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get or where we're going to go.
We'll sprain our ankle on one of these rabbit holes walking through at some point.
We have no idea where we're going to end up over this hour.
I made a mistake, too. I took another bite of that. Complete idiot is the label for that smoking guns jerky. And I keep going back.
What are you doing?
It's really good.
It's on the label. It's on the label.
I'm just not going to deny it. You know, sometimes smoking, you read the label.
And smoking gun is fire, man. And they give you on the label. And they said, you know, and listen. Jeff and Nicole walked right through it. They literally, like she said, here, this one's yours.
Yep.
And he did exactly what she expected him to do, which was bite into this beef jerky, smoking hot beef jerky, fire beef jerky.
Yeah, it's and got then, some ghost pepper.
And then he goes, oh, I'm an idiot. Yep.
That is what the label said. It's completely idiotic.
Them's the rules. Them's the rule. This is how it works. This is how it goes, man.
Really good stuff, though. Shout out. Oh, don't get me wrong. Hey. I'm going to go for the pepper next time, though, and tame it down a little bit. But I believe you can get that at Hy-Vee these days.
Yeah, it is the thing that you – and I go through phases on what my, air quotes, healthy snack du jour is, right? I go through stretches where I can do – saltless sunflower seeds, but I need the big ones, the jumbos.
Okay.
The big ones. Right? I lived an entire high school, little league, high school, college career, softball career of salted sunflower seeds. And then you realize as a grown-up, consuming that much salt probably isn't good for you.
Yeah, never put that. I'm not much of a seed guy because I don't play baseball.
Stuff. I mean, listen, in college, if you're on the bench, it's a sunflower seed party, or gum. Playing ball in Virginia, the southern aspect of it, where the team was split into thirds, there were the sunflower seeds crew, there was the bubblegum crew, and then there was the chewing tobacco crew, although it was really the spitting crew, because nothing. Nothing upsets me more. There was nothing that could ruin my day more than having one of my teammates with a mouthful of chaw spit the tobacco juice on my clean, shiny spikes. Listen.
I'd be pretty upset too. I think everyone has a right that's.
It would challenge.
Do what you will, but do not bring that on me.
Hey, bro. And because there's several things that happen with the chewing tobacco, right? Mm-hmm. So there's different classes of them. There are those who spit for distance, right? They let it set enough that they can get some major distance on it. But there's a lack of control with that, right? Because you have the spitters, and then you have those people that go between the teeth,
yeah,
right, and shoot a line drive, right? So you've got the bloop hitters and then the line drive hitters when it comes to tobacco juice, right? And for anybody who played ball, you know exactly who your friends were. But and then you had those who would spit into a cup. Now,
that's my least favorite. I hate to say it, but
but here's the thing, right? It's tough to look at, but also nothing worse, right? Gatorade dude, right? Yeah. So cup, set it aside somewhere. You get to the point where you would, like, and this is back 1980. So a little bit different. We weren't doing the individual drinking container sort of stuff, right?
You got probably still sharing a hose at halftime.
Right. You were pretty cool if you had your own cup and you found a place, right? You would put it in your cubby hole. So if I'm the leadoff hitter, I get the first cubby hole, right? So my gloves go, my batting gloves go in there, whatever, eye black, whatever other thing in there. When I come in to hit, I put my glove in there as well. Either that or I give it to whoever I'm playing outfield with, right? So infielders keep their gloves together, outfielders keep their gloves together. But nothing worse than on a day like today, 95 plus degrees, you are sweating profusely. You have been out in the field. The inning was a little extra long, a little bit extra dusty out there, right? Dirt kicked up, you know, sliding and whatnot. And you come back in and there's a cup in a place that you are familiar with, except there's no Gatorade in the cup. Somebody has spit tobacco juice in the cup. And if you want a mood change, pick up the wrong cup that somebody has put tobacco juice in. Because just the smell of it, I can smell it 40 years right now. Fresh, just like it was yesterday. I can smell it. And here's the other thing. I was a goober in that when, I don't know if I've ever told you this story. So playing softball post-college. And
life is unpredictable, but how you prepare for the unexpected shouldn't be. Take ownership of your life planning with Policy Genius to help your loved ones have a financial safety net in case something happens to you. Whether to cover debts and routine expenses or even invest the money and earn interest over time. With Policy Genius, finding and buying life insurance is simple. You can compare quotes from top insurers and could find coverage that fits your needs and your budget. Plus, they offer life insurance policies starting at just $276 a year for $1 million in coverage. It's an easy way to feel good about and plan for the future. No wonder Policy Genius is the country's leading online insurance marketplace. Don't wait for life to make other plans. Protect your family today. Head to PolicyGenius.com to compare top-rated life insurance policies, get your lowest quote, and make a smart move in under 10 minutes. That's PolicyGenius.com.
Generally, it was water or Gatorade, right? So we would have a water cooler. We were
just a little bit softball league.
Yeah, we were advanced enough. Well, you're playing semi-pro. You're playing in tournaments, right? And I would play, and sometimes I'd play in two tournaments a weekend at the same time. They could be running concurrently in different counties. If you're playing semi-pro, you're playing for Theismans, you're on the road. You're traveling. You drove or flew somewhere. But then at the lower levels, you're playing locally, but you're still playing in these marathon tournaments. And you're there on a weekend, starts Friday or sometimes Saturday morning, but you're there at the park all day. And somebody would, you know what, they bring you a Gatorade or they bring you a Coke or a Pepsi, right? Now, nobody playing in these tournaments had time to, because I actually played, so you didn't have time to just chug a Coke. You take a sip, right? You take a sip. Okay. Put it there on the bench. You go play ball. It's there when you come back in. You know it's your Coke or whatever. You don't have to worry about it. Except there was one tournament where it's 95 degrees. And it was a marathon tournament. It actually started Friday midnight. So you play in the dark hours. But we were in the winner's bracket and we'd won two games overnight. And then 8 o'clock. We played, we won, so we're in the semifinals of the winner's bracket. Playing in that game, and middle of the game, competitive game, score on a base hit from second, come back in, grab my soda, take a swig. Take a full swig.
Oh, no, dude.
And I don't know if anybody out there has ever experienced this, but being stung in your mouth by a gang of bees. So while I was out in the field, several bees decided to have a party in my Coca-Cola can. But it's a can, so you don't see what's in the can. And I pause. Because there is a disco party going on in my mouth.
How many bees found their way in there? How many are we talking
so
about?
So I am, just imagine that I am rapid fire spitting bees out like ammunition. Ping, 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 like trying to get them. You're flicking them with your tongue, trying to get them.
They're flying around in there.
Well, the flying out ones were easy. It's the ones that had already stung me in the soft tissue at the top or in the jaw, and you have to use your tongue to flick them out of your flesh and then spit them out.
And then you still have the...
And then you're still angry. Right, right. Now, here's the thing about your boy DP. Now, I end up going straight to the hospital. I go straight to the hospital because there's at least 8 bees.
Yeah, it's all in the mouth, too. You don't want your esophagus to close up.
That part. Ugh. That part. And they give me shots and shots and shots, and then they give me IVs to treat the swelling and inflammation. But that wasn't the worst bee experience that I ever had.
That's a tough one to top.
Oh, that's what I... Hey, listen. When I was 12 years old, playing softball in the summer at the rec center on my street. So we had the rec center that all the kids would hang out at the playground, right? And we're up there playing. We're going to play softball in the summer. It's July. We're playing in the summer, right? But behind first base, there were these bushes. And if somebody overthrew first base, the ball would go into these bushes.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to go in and get the ball. Well, unbeknownst to us, there were some wasps that had built a wonderful little nest in there. And I go running in to get the softball, and I feel the first sting. And then another, and then another, and then another, and then a bunch. And it's a party. It is a party. Apparently, the sound that I made traveled far enough from the softball field to the actual rec center that people heard, run! Because they could see and hear the swarm of bees onto me. I am in a full sprint from one end of my street to my house.
You know, it's crazy. It surprises you how fast bees are.
Bruh.
They fly way faster than you think.
Well, because I got their boys stuck in my arm, in my legs. Like, I got them. The bees are with me. So my sister puts me in the car, drives me to the emergency room treating. And the doctor, the nurse goes, well, this one goes into the journal. Because we've never had anybody with this many bee stings ever. And I look like Will Smith in Stitch.
Okay, yeah.
Right? Where his allergy,
mm-hmm.
That's what I look like. But it's all over my body. I've got hives all over the place. My mom gets the call. She drives to the emergency room. And she's like, well, baby, I've always said you were sweet. The bees don't lie. The bees love you. And I thought I had been done with the bees. So much so, right? No, they were just waiting for that softball day to get even. Like, they were like, hey, DP, how you been, man?
The fact that they found your Coke, I imagine you weren't the only person drinking Coke that day.
I think I was, as a matter of fact.
That's tough.
Well, because most of us, we just, you know how you do, like, you don't do a thing, but you don't know why you don't do that thing?
Yeah.
Right? Well, that's why you didn't do Coke. Like, that's why you didn't do cans of Coke, because, I don't know.
At least a bottle, then you like can figure out.
Yeah, like somebody along the way figured out, hey, man, don't leave an open can of soda for bees, because bees are going to be. They're going to do bees things. And I just went, oh, boy.
I can't ever figure out if you have great luck or some of the worst luck. I'll be honest. You sit on the edge of a fine blade.
Well,
in terms of where you're luckily, listen.
I've said it all, and folks that pay attention to listen to the station know that this is like an anniversary for me. 9 years of a critical situation. Mm-hmm. I'm in ICU because 27 blood clots and a saddle embolism after a spinal fusion surgery and a botched catheter being put in and the nightmare of being on having a chaplain on your bed. Mm-hmm. 27 blood clots. One will get you. I had 27. Three in my heart, four in my lungs. I tell the story all the time that I'm blessed to be here. Like I say it every day. Like that's why I count my days. 23. Today is 23,010.
Your birthday is up tomorrow, right?
Birthday tomorrow. 23,011 is the 63rd opportunity and blessing. 63 years of blessing. Sunrises, sunsets, and otherwise. And so I pay attention, right? Mm-hmm. I told a story at the Nebraska Storytellers of one night on a bus. And I asked people if they had, if they're familiar with the movie Speed. Sandra Bullock. Keanu Reeves.
Okay, yes. Right? I've seen it.
Right? And the late, great Dennis Hopper plays the villain. And they call him and they say, well, pop quiz, hotshot. You're on a bus. It's going 55 miles per hour. If it goes below the 55 miles per hour, the bomb blows up the bus. So you've got to do this. So that means you have to get several things you have to do to figure out how to survive. Well, coaching in Utah, and I tell the story that we sometimes, being a 3A school, we had to take these 5 and 6 hour bus rides. We'd have to go from the canyon of Salt Lake City up through Park City to get to other states, to get to other areas, other teams. And one night we play a game 6 hours away. We win the game. We're coming back. And, you know, after a game, Harrison, sometimes the players fall asleep. Sometimes the coaches fall asleep, except for we were alerted by cars driving by us. They were blowing the horn and waving at us. And we thought they were waving because it was the school, you know, the football bus.
Right.
But they're morning. Waving and they're like, roll your window down. And the guy, first guy, you know, I'm half asleep and you hear it. And the guy goes, your bus is on fire. Sir, your bus is on fire. Like in the wheel hub of your bus is on fire. So we go, you know, we wake up and you go talk to the driver and go, hey, man.
The bus is on fire. Dude says
the bus is on fire. He goes, yeah, I kind of know. I said, what do you mean you kind of know? He goes, well, that's not even the biggest problem. Like the bus on fire is a pretty big problem. That's a pretty big problem. But he says, well, it's on fire because I've been pumping the brake pads because we don't have any brakes. Now,
oh my Lord,
a bus filled with a football team going and from Park City, Parley's Canyon, which is the, just imagine snow-capped Winter Olympics, the mountaintops.
Yeah, it's not a and you're at the you top want to be on with your brakes out.
And you have to get to the bottom of the hill. But now we are on this with no brakes. And because he wore out the brake pads and now it's metal against metal, the wheels are on fire. Now, there's gas on the bus and there's a football team on the bus. Now, people are starting to veer out of the way. And I tell the story that it was pretty amazing because you have to kind of manage, right? You have to figure out emotionally where you are and the lot. But the cars that were warning us, they all peeled off like, hey, man. Deuces, you're on your own.
I tried to tell you.
You're on your own. And then several cars, because the cars are getting out of the way, they realize you're on fire and you don't have any brakes. Mm-hmm. Now, Parley's Canyon is a roller coaster. It's literally turn, and you're on the side of a mountain.
I can't even, like, really blame the bus driver in this, because, like, what do you, at that point, you're, like, just trying to keep everyone cool.
What do you do, right? Yeah, right? What do you do? But we've got kids that we have to kind of calm down, right? But then it's trying to figure out, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Now, several things happen along the way, and it gets worse because the smoke starts to file into the bus. And now the kids are waking up because they know something's wrong. Chaos kind of does that. And parents would follow us, but the parents are getting out of the way because the parents don't want to watch this thing happen, right? It's inevitable. Like, you're going 70 down a hill, right? With twists and turns and now, the bus driver says we have one shot because we can't make any of the earlier. There's three different stopping points that have all gravel but you would smash into the side of a mountain.
Well, yeah, and you're not driving a cute little Honda either. You got a bus.
It's a bus.
That's
right?
A lot of weight coming down.
Right.
With
it's
it.
A bus. Well, then he says, but we have one shot. Now, when we get to the bottom of the hill, one, you have to get through. There's a stoplight. There's mm-hmm. a four-way crossway. Right. You
so got to beg and pray right there.
There's no traffic. And I tell the joke that, well, it was a Catholic school in Utah, which is a story for another time. Right. Story for another time. Catholic school in Utah. Mm-hmm. But that we knew how to pray. We knew how to pray. Like, we knew which prayer to go to. Yep. Like, we had,
you got the creed. I'll do the Hail Mary. Like, you got the Our Father. Like,
we knew what we were doing. Like, we hit that part. But you had to get through the light. And then there was a sharp turn and then up a hill, which would slow down the bus. Which we were like, okay, so we moved everybody to a side of the bus. We all prayed. He made the turn, and we were on two wheels. Like, you're one side of the wheels. But you make it, and then as you make the turn and go up the hill, it slows the bus down. But again, you still don't have any brakes, and you can't pump any more than you did, because then the fire becomes the smoke, the sparks become a real fire. Well, it's on fire, and I actually have pictures of the wheels being on fire. But when the bus came to a stop, it stopped in front of all places, a gas station. A bus on fire in front of a gas station. Bruh, we cleared that bus off so fast and sprinted as far away as we could get. And then we just sat on the curb and we all prayed together and said, thank you, because there's no real, when I tell people I don't stress about much, I'm just not a stressor, because quite frankly, I've seen some stuff.
I was going to say, that's one way to
right, like,
remove a lot of that stress.
Right.
You go through something like that. Next day, you know, your car won't start. You're maybe a little more cool about it.
This is what's really funny, right? So, and this is probably 3 o'clock in the morning when we finally, like, the best part of the whole thing was that it was Utah, right? So Friday night's a little bit different in Utah than it is anywhere else, right? You don't have the traffic that you have in big cities. But the other side of it is it's the middle of the morning, right? So you're there and the fire department shows up and everything is in play. We finally get home. Right, because we didn't go back to the school, we were in a different part of the city.
Right,
so we had to wait for rides to come pick. We had to call people and go, okay, you're not going to believe this. This is a little bit weird, but I need you to come pick me up and tell them where it was and everything. And the different people, we rallied to pick up all the people, you know, all 48 people, 60 people who were on the bus, and take them either to their car, back to school, or home. And I get home and I'm calling various people, right? Like, man, y'all don't, you know, here's what happened. You know, try to explain what it was. And you're exhausted and you're smoke covered, right? From everything. And I get home and I sit on the couch. I sit on the bed, corner end of my bed, and I hit the TV. And there on the TV, Speed is playing. Pop Quiz. You're on a bus. I turned off that TV. It's the only time I can ever remember in my life that I went into the shower and I just sat in the corner and let the water just rain down on me. Cause I had nothing left. I've been through stuff, and you just go, okay, if you don't say thank you, like, what's a human going to do to me that the universe hasn't already tried? All right, I'm scared of no man. What do you...
Put you in a freighter and cut the brakes? I don't know.
What are you going to do that ain't already been done to me? Like, I already been through it.
Yeah, I haven't heard that story. That's the first one.
Already been through it. And I'll show you when we get to break. I'll show you. I'll find the article for you because, of course, the Salt Lake Tribune ran, you know, several stores. Yeah. It turns out, and we had, of course, we had named the driver Hero, right?
That's a
except for crazy maneuver. We found out that after we all left, they arrested the bus driver because he didn't have a valid license.
Does he get one for bringing that bus down safely with the brakes being cut?
I don't know. It was not. It was in the newspaper article.
That's
the later that the driver, you know.
I don't know the full story, but man, that sounds awful.
Well, I mean, you know, listen, you kind of threw it, right?
Yeah, like it's like
I don't know what it was, but you know, but
almost feels like you kind of just like, here's your license, sir. You passed the test.
Or to say, you know, listen, maybe you mishandled it, and that maybe that's what caused it.
That's what I mean, the full story. Right, I don't know right. For sure.
So I don't know what to tell you. But it was one of those things where you just go, woof. Like I don't. Being in the ICU for 4 days, I mean, you know, think about it. Becky sleeping on a chair outside the ICU. Becky's not a chair sleeper, bro. That's not what she's built for. But she held it down. She was the one that made the call to rescue me. You know, when I couldn't breathe, because that was the catch, was that, you know, I told Becky literally that, like they say, if he ever says he can't breathe, call right away. And I literally had to get up with a full brace on and the catheter still attached to my leg, you know, to walk around with a walker for, you know, 10, 15 minutes around my house. But the breathing became labored, and I told her, and she's a coach's wife, right? So we have this conversation about, are you hurt? Are you injured? Right? Coach will ask that. Are you hurt? Or are you injured?
Mm-hmm.
Injured means I can't go. I can't go. Hurt, I'm in pain. Injured, something's wrong. And she asked, hurt or injured? This is an injury. She called 911, called the doctor. Doctor said, we'll call 911. We'll get somebody to your house. 6 minutes to my house, 7 minutes, 8 minutes treating me at the house, 7 minutes back to the emergency for them to diagnose. And, you know, they tell you, well, we know what this is. This ain't good. And they had a technician come in. They put me straight in ICU, and they put me with somebody that they sent a technician in to scan my body. And, you know, I'm like, well, you know, the doctor told me what you're looking. You're looking for blood clots.
They found how many?
27. Three in my heart, four in my lungs. Again, any one of them fatal. But the three in my heart and lungs had a bully with them called a saddle embolism. So the story, as they say it, so imagine your bronchial stem,
mm-hmm.
and it splits into the two lungs. Well, this thing let those blood clots in and then wrapped itself around the base of the stem to choke me out. It's called a widowmaker.
So that's why you weren't breathing. Your lungs were just getting choked out.
Well, your lungs are getting choked out, but also they're not functioning the way that they should because of the clots. Mm-hmm. The clots will shut down a lung and a heart. One will.
It's going to ruin that pressure and flow.
Yeah. And so they can't, then they go through all the reasons of what they can and can't do in treating you. Because remember, my spine's open from surgery 3 years. I would hemorrhage out. If they treat it with blood thinner or otherwise, I'm going to hemorrhage and I'll be gone anyway. So when the chaplain sits with you and says, you know, well, you know, what's going on? I'm like, you tell me.
you shut up here.
This is your lane, man. This is like, the lady chaplain, I was like, this is your lane. Like you got to tell me. She goes, well, palms to the sky. Clear your heart. And that was the thing that I lived by since then, is clean heart, full lungs. And that's why you've been through stuff. Been through stuff. And so I don't have any fear. It's just appreciation. And, you know, as Haas and I were talking about it, I had the same conversation with Peter and with Mike and Sherry this morning. I am in a season of gratitude. I'll be 63 years old tomorrow. And I have lived a wonderful existence. Even with those things, I have lived I wouldn't change my life for anybody else's. It's not perfect. I'm not perfect, but I also know that's not my mission. Like, I can't hold myself to that, but I can be grateful for the mistakes that I make and the lessons I learn. And I can be grateful for the fact that we have this thing, this place that we can come to, and these conversations that we can have. And I'm just here to remind people, celebrate your day, whatever your day is. This is 23,010. 23010. Tomorrow will be 2000, 23,011. And that's sunrises, sunsets, and all the things in between. And today is the only 2310 I'm ever going to get. Like, I'm never going to be as young as I am right now. I'm never going to be this young again. I'm never going to know less than I know right now. I'm never going to know fewer people than I know right now. I'm never going to, but I'm also smarter than I was yesterday. I'm stronger than I was yesterday because I'm smarter. I'm more blessed. I have more blessings on my table today than I had yesterday. So for anybody, I don't care what you're going through. You have the opportunity every day to make a thing better, stronger, or otherwise. Listen, I couldn't walk with that surgery. I couldn't walk. I was in a brace for 6 months, like a full, body brace around the core. And you watch Euler and what's going on with his, but he didn't have the structural problems that I had or the side problems that I had. I had to learn to walk again. I had to learn to use the bathroom again. Like, your body goes into trauma and the things you have to learn, and you have to change your life, and you have to change what you consume, and you have to change how you process. And then
those are humbling experiences. I've talked about it. I'm open. You know, I know he doesn't care, but my dad had to go through prostate cancer. A lot of men do. And like, that's one of those things that happens where it's like, it's a whole new thing that you got to get used to it. And you can't sulk.
Well, but each day, right? Mm-hmm. So I've had bumps, bruises, broken bones. Again, more metal than man, right? That torn biceps and no meniscus in one leg and half in the other. And
airports probably really hit you when you walk through.
Yeah, like, it's a thing, right? You get those. Well, because of the lower lumbar region, sometimes, it'll ding, right? Mm-hmm. Because of the metal, pins and screws that are in it. And, and God bless your dad, right? God bless your family for being able to. We talked about friction and your ability to use friction as something to push off of rather than a thing that resists you and holds you back. But you have to go through stuff to know that you can go through stuff. And there are people that get so used to just going through stuff that they wallow in it. No. I have every excuse to have never made it to Lincoln, Nebraska. I have every excuse to never have met you, to never have met the people from the ticket, and all those things. All those things. I could literally just wallow in the misery of failures and otherwise. Like, I've had bad bosses, and I've had bosses that took advantage of it, that owe me money and that sort of stuff. I've had good relationships, bad relationships. In the end, that each day you have an opportunity. Every day.
Well, it's that famous quote. I don't know who dubbed it, but it's like, when you're going through hell, why would you stop? Like, you put it in park when you're going through your worst, like, well, get ready for the rest of your life being that feeling.
It was a thing that happened in a story in college, and it was part of the writing, but it is okay in your lowest point to acknowledge that you're there, but never, ever get your mail there. Never make it permanent enough to get your mail there, where that sort of trouble and that sort of pain knows where to find you. It knows where to find you. It knows that you live there. Now, you can send my old trouble mail to a place that I'm not there. Listen, you can look for me in the ICU in the Woodland, Texas. I don't get my mail there, bro. I don't get my mail on those beds. I'm not on the side of a mountain with a bus on fire. I'm not sitting around with bionics on my arm.
You're not drinking a Coke full of bees.
I'm not drinking. Listen, man, through all of the things, and no matter who you are listening, let me give you this gift. That for everything that you've ever worried about, stressed about, bothered you, brought you pain, nothing, if you can hear this, nothing that you stressed about, worried about, felt beaten down by, beat you. If you can hear this, you're undefeated. You literally nothing has ever beaten you. It may have slowed you down or changed your path or changed your belief or changed the way you speak and think, but it's never beat you. And I believe in that in full. undefeated. Now, there will come a day when I take my loss. Can't do nothing about it. I don't get to choose. I didn't get to choose when what my first day was. I don't get to choose what my last was. But in between, undefeated. And if once you realize you're undefeated, changes all the excuses and all the other stuff. And the other part, nothing that's for you. There's nobody else in line for what's for you but you. Can't nobody ever get what's for Harrison Arms but Harrison Arms.
Got me fired up, DP.
No, but think about that. What are the odds that a kid from Arlington, Virginia, a poor kid from Arlington, Virginia, ends up in Lincoln, Nebraska doing what we're doing today and having the conversations that we're having? What are the odds? Like,
if you had asked me when I was growing up, I'd go one in, probably pull like a 1 in 5,000, 1 in 10,000.
Right, that you're doing the thing that you're doing today. If somebody said this to you 10 years ago, Harrison, this is your existence 10 years from now, you would probably go, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Right? You have to be, everybody is a blessing. Everybody's a miracle. Every single person is a miracle. And I know it's Sunday and it seems faithy, but let me give it to you. That the likelihood that you ever make it to this planet, to this universe, one, the millions of opportunities that your father had, the millions of opportunities that your mother had, the eggs that exist, and those sperm have to meet exactly at the right time and place for you to exist at all.
And then my ancestors.
You are. And then you go back. And then you go back. And you go back. What are the odds that your dad's parents would meet and create him so that you could be created? That your mom's parents and your dad's parents would meet in the spaces that they were all over the world, perfectly, ideally timed for you to exist as you are so that you can create what you're going to create with whoever you're, like your person to create with exists. And the universe is plotting and planning perfectly for it to happen so that the great, it's like Haas and his young ones, right? The perfect blend of a Tabrizi and Caroline to all the things that had to happen from different continents and different religions and different cultures to meet and create the special person that he is and that he's creating. So I say this, I'm open and grateful for any lesson that I have to experience today, because everything I've gone through was to prepare me for today. Every single lesson, all the pain, all the victory, all those things were the accumulation of all of those things, good and bad, and they put us to today. And whatever, if you don't know how many days you've been here, you probably should figure it out, because I had to go and learn of the ilk that along with the number of days, it tells you other things. So, Harrison, 755 months. Does that seem like a lot or a little?
Doesn't seem like as much as it should.
Right.
Kind of scares you.
I have 755 months to love as many people as possible in as many ways as possible. That is, I'm currently at 3,287 weeks. New calendars, new opportunities.
I just looked at it. I haven't even broke 10,000 days yet.
Right. Like to go through that, I've been on this planet in this existence for 500,000 hours. That's it, though. Like that's a number. But think about how many chances I got to restart, regrow, rebrand, redirect, all that stuff, right? And you can circle different ones in it.
Well, now put sleep in there. How much time do you really have?
Right. So if you start to pay attention to how blessed you really are, one, to be here. Right. It really is going to be my next book. What are the odds? What are the odds that you exist? What are the odds that you get to do what you're doing with who you're doing it with, where you get to do it? Right. And that's just the stuff that you've done. That's not even the stuff that you're going to do. Right. Because 10 years ago, if you asked me that I would be owning a radio station, a sports radio station in Lincoln, Nebraska, none of those boxes check and none of that correlates. None of it makes sense. And if you asked me 15 years ago about being in TEDS and writing book, no. winning state titles. No. Utah, Texas? I mean, no, they ain't going to Texas. I'm going to Texas for it. You're going to live in Nebraska. You're going to love Nebraska. Where you are now is just your current condition. It is the launching place and the thing that propels you to the thing that you were born for. And if you don't think that you're special, what are the odds that you're here in the first place? What are the odds that you go through, the universe goes through, what it goes through to create you, for you to be basic, for you to not be important, for you to not have value, for you to not be able to make mistakes and have a plan and a way out of it, and that you aren't going to make the space that, again, of all the things that could be created, you were created to, you think you were created to do wrong? No, you were created to do better. Everybody has the opportunity to make their space, their lives, the people around them, so covered in love that nothing else can stick. And you can do that. Or you can wallow and be miserable and cranky. And those people exist. But that's why the special people, the loving people, really get it. Because they know that people are in pain. They know that people think less of themselves than they should. They know that people only focus on their problems. But no, the people that love you don't care about that. They only care about you and your love. They want what's best for you. I said it earlier, I'll say it again. I want, for anybody that can hear this, I want for them what they want for them. I want to cheer you on as you grow or rebrand or change your direction or love on the people or have success or find love or whatever thing you want for you. This is who I am, and this is what I want for anybody. I want for you what you want for you. And it is in full. There's no caveat to that. There's no condition to that. There's no condition to that.
As long as that thing isn't harming others. I think that may be the one.
No, you start to ask people, because that's not my concern. I don't control what you do. Mm-hmm. I can only root for the best for you. What you do with your victories and skills, that's not for me to say. I don't have that text from God. Mm-hmm. I didn't get that phone call. But I'm pretty sure that when I face my maker, what they will ask me is, did you love and did you celebrate? I'm going to get the first two questions right. We can get into the other judgments and the other stuff, but the first things, did you love? Did you love? Did you care? Were you good to other humans? Were you good to other creatures? Were you good to the spaces that you were in? Did you try your best? Right. The other stuff goes into the human flaws and the corners of how humans exist. Mm-hmm. I don't particularly. It's not my job to wish ill for my enemy because I don't have any enemies. They are their own. That's not my job. I don't want that job title.
Yeah, it's a much healthier
mindset. I don't want that job title. Like, as much as I joke about the evil empire being the Dallas Cowboys, I don't hate the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, that's more
fun. No, I'm focused on my teams doing well. Mm-hmm. They happen to be somebody that shows up in competition. We can say that we are competing, but they're not my enemies. I don't have any political enemies. That's none of my business. That's on them. Them and their maker will have a conversation. That ain't none of my business. What you believe is none of my business. I can root for you in full, that you have everything you need. And hopefully, when you have everything you want for you, that you're not evil with it. But that's not my control. I need for you more than anything else for you to have what you need so that you don't have to seek those other things. I don't want a person to go, you know what? I don't need to be in your lane. That's your lane. That's your lane. When yours veers into mine, I'm beholden to my lane and my safety and my successes. Hey, man. I hope you see me. But that's also for him. That if they can see, then at least we're there. It's like I said, it's always interesting for me that in a world in which we live, I know Becky and I wanted to come to Lincoln because we hoped and prayed that there were good people here. There are good people everywhere. There are also not good people everywhere. Are these good people that you're willing to ride with? Will you wear their colors? Will you wear their logo? Will you cheer for what they cheer for? Will you love what they love? And none of that speaks to what they don't like, who they don't like, what they don't believe, what they don't love. Listen, a lot of conversation online and in the sports entertainment world is about a character. And whether you're able to celebrate the artist and not, or the art rather than the artist. Not my concern. I don't have to like how Terry Bollea lived. I can still have respect for what he contributed. And I can also see what the person who was portraying this character did. And my judgment doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I know when the chord hits, what it means and what we're celebrating. I get it. I'm also grown up enough to go, he didn't love me. He couldn't. And that's a pain that he carried with him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't need my venom. He doesn't need my spite. He doesn't. No. Go talk to your banker, bro. Have that conversation. All I want, Harrison, is for you to have what you want. Enough. Have enough, right? Have enough love. Have enough nutrition. Have enough resource. Have enough peace of mind. Have all that stuff, right? Comfort. Have what you want. And that is for every John and Cortland, OG, Don, like Bill and Ben. I want Crowbait. I want y'all to have what you want. Whatever you want to have. I want you to have that. And that would be the birthday, best birthday ever. That would be the best birthday.
So Bear Super Bowl. That's a.
I want that for you. I want that for you, bro.
I have bigger goals than Bear Super Bowl, but I would love that.
But no, that listen, there are people who are listening that want the Huskers to win another national championship in football.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I not want that? Why would I not want to see you happy? Why would I not want that? I want Nick to be happy. I want Jeffrey to be happy. Ellie to be happy. Like, I want everybody who I am in their stratosphere, like their awareness, their space. I want them to have everything that they want to have. And then together, we can figure out how to get you there. But I also know that that means you have to, one, acknowledge what you want and who you are, and then say, here's how much it means to me to get this thing. There are a bunch of people that want to do sports radio, are willing to do the work to have this responsibility that a microphone gives you. Everybody wants to be in sports radio. Everybody wants a podcast. Everybody wants to be on radio. Everybody wants to make money. Are you willing to do what you say is the thing of value to you? Are you willing to do that? I can want it for you, but are you willing to do the work? And I will cheer for you like a madman. I will celebrate every step along the way that you are victorious. But Harrison, I'll say this to you. The greatest compliment that I can give you is that I'm rooting for you. You're worthy of me rooting for you. You're worthy of me throwing resources towards clearing the path and then making a way. And that someday you're going to come to me with a vision of a thing and I'm going to trust you in it because I see how you work for the things that you want. You don't just say, I want this. You show up and you care about it. Like you care about it. You're thoughtful about it. You're insightful about it. DP, have we thought about this? Can we consider this? Hey, DP, there's a thing. Maybe we're missing something. You're thoughtful and considerate to all the hosts who come in the weeknight folks, the non-professionals, the folks who aren't professional broadcasters, the athletes that come in, the coaches that come in, the sponsors, the nonprofit people who come in, who walk in, and you care enough to make their thing the thing. For that hour or 2 hours or whatever it is a week where you, these people are vulnerable and they're taking a chance, right? Because they don't know whether they're saying the right thing or they put this thought process together and you walk them through, you hold their hand, you turn on the light for them, you remove everything from their plate that they can, you can remove so that they're as comfortable as they can possibly be and being authentically good and themselves. And I trust you with a thing that I've built, and that's a compliment for me to say, I'm willing to give you the keys to a thing of value to me. And for you to be the gatekeeper for Lincoln Radio at night. Because you could count on one hand and maybe two fingers how many people are live at night on the radio in Lincoln to tell the stories to people of Lincoln about what's going on in their town, whether it be sports, culture, or otherwise. And you accept that responsibility. You accept the burden of it. You don't complain about it. You don't stress about it. You fully understand that, my goodness gracious, you're the gatekeeper for downtown Lincoln. You're the eyes, ears, and voice of sports programs at the university that don't get light and don't get celebration. You're the eyes, ears, and voice for these nonprofits who come in here and they just speak love to corners of Lincoln that don't always feel loved. You get to see the best and the worst of Lincoln, and then you wrap it up, you clean it up, you edit it, and then you take this wonderful gourmet meal that is ticket weeknights and ticket weekends, and then you piecemeal it into bit and parcel of love that we send out to people to remind them to come get the meal. Not everybody has that. And I love to take the opportunity to say, kind sir, thank you for being trustworthy and of value and to having integrity and character and how you do business, for loving this thing, the sports thing, and then the sports radio thing, and then this ticket thing, and then this Lincoln thing, and then this Nebraska thing. Because I guarantee you this, and I don't know that you're aware of it, but think of the number of hours and the number of shows that you have had your loving hands on. And how many of those, I guarantee you, not once has anybody left your presence in this building, in this space, and not felt more loved and cared for and valuable than what you made for them. You did that. You do that every day that you walk in here. And young man, I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. I'm proud of who you are and how you do this, why you do it. Listen, I can't speak for your family, but your family has to be remarkably proud of Harrison Arns and who he's become.
Thank you, DP. It's an absolute privilege. I think that's the best way I can say it, and that's why I look at it this way. So, genuinely, it means a lot. I appreciate all that, DP.
Well, I'm going to get out of the way. I'm going to go put my feet up and watch some baseball. I'm going to smile. I'm going to love on y'all, Lincoln. I'm going to do my best. I promise. I will talk to you guys tomorrow on day 23,011.
Don't go anywhere. More ticket coming up next. Bills Thrills, we got that for you. And like I said, Ticket Sundays rolls on.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy original recipe chicken for only $10 every day.
Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.